It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, an odd job of dorm cleaning turns out to be much more than just a way to make an extra buck. A visit to a graveyard in the middle of the night is far from romantic for a young couple. And an update from Glenn, the security guard. All that and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Just send it to me directly, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person that's a supporter of our show. You do that by going to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes of the show and advanced episodes weeks before they go to the public. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
I have all these random boxes around my office, and sometimes I don't know what's in them.
It looks like you're preparing for Christmas.
Like I'm preparing for that, or like the apocalypse. I'm not quite sure. I had this little box over here. I'm like, what is in this? Because it's not clearly marked, and it's a Bluetooth audio transmitter from one thing to another. But sometimes I forget what I put where, and I try to keep things in certain areas. But I think I'm beginning to look like a hoarder.
It's like surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I have been clearing things out of here and just trying to put things where they go, but I have so many like kind of side projects going on that I kind of, it's like stuff is all over the place. So
yeah.
Anyway, this is, as this is airing, the last call here for those tickets to go to our live show, August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. If you want to make a weekend out of it, I suggest doing so. Tickets are only $25, just a few left. And you can go to realghoststoriesonline.com to see if you can still get them, because quite honestly, as we record this a few weeks before then, they may be sold out. I don't know. But check that out. Then if you can, we'd love to see you August 11th. We'll do an episode of this show live and the Grave Talks as well at the Crescent in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. By the time this airs, maybe you can get last minute flight deals. That does exist, or drive, depending on where you're
road trips are fun.
Right. It'd be a great kind of wrap up summer road trip. Kids go back to school very soon. You have a giant smile on your face as I say that out loud. She's twirling in her chair right now,
no,
like a 7-year-old. And oh, I didn't know you had a party hat with you. Where did you get that? That's just, is that from New Year's or what? Oh, well, anyway, check it out. We'd love to see you that evening, August 11th. And we'll in between episodes, we'll do what they call a meet and greet. But it'll be much more than just a handler standing there and then take a picture and walk away. We'll stand there and we'll just kind of stare at you for a long period of time, uncomfortably, like Eddie the dog on Frasier. And you'll say, hey, how you doing? I'll be like, just stare.
No.
Be like a wax figure. No, we'll hang out, talk, and get to know everybody. It'd be nice to meet and put a lot of faces to the folks who have been calling in and writing in over the years. So I know several folks that we've chatted with over the years that'll be coming. So I hope you can make it too. It'll be a good time. And everybody, come up. Let's chat. Well, hopefully we can get a chance to talk to everybody before, during, and after the program. So check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Tickets, by the way, for that, go to realghoststoriesonline.com and you will find the link there. Let's go over to our first story. It says, my brother and I listen to your show. Thank you for the great storytelling. I do not have any stories to share, but my brother has a few. Though he's chicken to write you. I'll stay anonymous and hopefully he won't get too pissed at me. Anyway, this all started back at the University of Nebraska back in 94 or 95. My brother, being a dirty hippie, he needed some quick money, so he took an odd job of cleaning the dorm rooms for incoming freshmen. His group had about five people in the facilities. Supervisor assigned them to clean the fourth floor. Other groups teased them because the fourth floor was supposedly haunted. Years prior, a former student had committed suicide by hanging himself in a small closet of his room. Ever since, freshmen that inherited that room claimed that the closet was haunted. Somebody in my brother's group said the room was number 413. So when they got close to that room, my brother, being an ass, thought it would be funny to sneak ahead and hide in the closet. He wanted to scare a couple of girls in his group, jumped out screaming to scare them, but ultimately they were not scared, either because they had heard him sneaking ahead or they knew his personality all too well. His group went ahead cleaning that room and continued with the remaining. They probably almost forgotten about the haunted room when something happened. A girl in his group suddenly screamed hysterically. Everybody rushed over because they thought she might be hurt. My brother said she was visibly shaking and pale white. They sat together trying to comfort her for several seconds before she would speak. When she finally caught her breath, she said, "Fucking cold hand." She'd been cleaning the closet of room 421, where she said something had grabbed her bare shoulder and pulled her back. It felt like a cold human hand, like somebody who'd been outside during the cold winter for several hours. Everybody assured her she was just imagining things. After all, this was not even the correct room number. She eventually settled down and continued cleaning the fourth floor. Later in the afternoon, they finally finished cleaning the floor. They gathered their cleaning supplies and went back down to meet the facility's supervisor. The supervisor had a smile on his face and said, "So, did 421 get you?" Everybody in the group looked at each other. They said, "I thought it was 413. The supervisor laughed, "Nope, I'll never forget that room number." Full disclosure for any freshman attending, I honestly don't remember the exact floor or room number that my brother originally said. I hope you enjoy my brother's story. I have a few others to share.
Well, I think that's about as good of proof as you can get when you think it's a different room, but you have an experience in the actual room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like, I don't know, it's almost like the placebo effect where you think it's this one, oh, we're going to be haunted, and then mm-hmm. No, it's that other one.
Yeah, I was thinking placebo effect too, but I couldn't think of the word. I was going to say it's like the suppository effect, which is not at all the right term.
Not quite right.
It's always kind of fun when you use the wrong term for something.
No, it's not.
Say that in a sentence when somebody's having a serious... So it's like the suppository effect. And then people kind of look at you like, what? And you don't realize it till later. Mm-hmm. I've done that before. I can't think of any specific examples, and it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. But I've done it where it's like later on, somebody's like, you do realize what you said was not, you know.
And then you feel like an idiot for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, there's no way to correct this.
Yeah.
So, but there you go.
Yeah. My brother one time messed up the words molest and harass.
God.
So we were very concerned for a little bit, and then he realized that wasn't what he meant.
How did that go? Like, what was the situation? How was it said?
I know the story, but they don't. So go ahead and share.
Okay, so my mom, my brother, and I were out in a store, and my brother meant to tell my mom, stop harassing me.
Mm-hmm.
And out loud in the middle of, I think it was Walmart, he said, stop molesting me, mom.
God.
Yeah.
That would just be horrific.
That's how that went. And he was like Harper's age. He was like six.
So. It's just a kid that grabbed a word that didn't know the meaning and thought it was interchangeable or just grabbed the wrong word because they, you know, without the grasp of the language.
You should have seen the Walmart people looking. They were like, yeah. What the hell?
Jesus. Wow. Well,
that was fun times.
That must have been an interesting experience. I go to the store frequently because it seems to be the best option for groceries anywhere near us. And what I'm shocked by is not so much children saying things like that. It's the sheer amount of drug addicts that are visibly in the store.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing. This used to be, you know, there was always every once in a great while. You know, years gone by, it seemed you could be out and you would run into, well, that person clearly is not well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, oh my, I swear to God, every time I go, it's like within a couple minutes, you see a couple. And then what's uncomfortable about it is the kids are there. They're like, what's wrong with that? It's like, well, you know.
Because they're not just.
There's a meth problem in the area, kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you can just.
Yeah.
You suspect it's like, no, they are very much on something when they're shopping,
like violent to the bread. I saw one person just like angry at the Sara Lee 45 calorie wheat the other day. And it was as if Sara Lee, you know, nobody does it like Sara Lee. Well, apparently somebody else does because they did not like that Sara Lee bread. And it was violence towards the loaf. And it was a couple together, and you could tell they were both. There was like, there's no reason to have this much aggression towards bread.
Mm-hmm.
And Harper's like, what? The only thing I can do is kind of use it as an example when you're out in those situations and be like, without going into detail, it's like, this is the effects of someone being on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. Because they don't realize that they're acting this way or that others are seeing them in this way. They think they're normal right now.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't do that, kids. But I don't know. I don't know if it's that store or the area or what, but I think it's life in general in a lot of places right now where you run into that on a frequent basis.
I think it's more widespread than we realize.
Yeah. It's just scary.
It is.
It's scary that it's that prevalent now. I hope, you know, obviously, there's a problem with that. I'm not going to sit here and preach about it, but I just hope that we can get that under control because it's getting scary sometimes going out.
That's why Walmart started doing Walmart pickup.
God bless them. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, I just stumbled upon your podcast maybe a month ago and I'm hooked. Been listening to it every day at work and love spooking myself hearing these stories. Just wanted to give a few experiences I've had throughout my life so far that I can't explain rationally. Hopefully they're entertaining enough to air. Nothing too crazy, but freaky nonetheless. The first one I could remember happened when I was around 10 or so. I was on my computer playing games at the second floor of my parents' house. The entire second floor is an open space, so you can pretty much see everything from any point in this room. As I was super concentrated on my game, I see what I thought was a dark shadow dart across the room in my peripheral view. It was in a spherical shape, maybe waist high, of an adult, and it went in the direction of the only staircase leading downstairs. It freaked me out. Unfortunately, I had to follow in the direction to the stairs because there was only one way to access it. It was summer, so I was home alone. Parents were at work. I couldn't have possibly been anyone. That was the only odd experience in this house. The second story, fast forward to my high school years. My girlfriend at the time and I, her friend and I, decided it'd be fun to go to the graveyard in the middle of the night. There was an old one in the middle of the neighboring town that we snuck into. I think it was from the Revolutionary era. If not, it definitely had some graves dated to the 1800s. Gates were closed. You were definitely not supposed to be in there. The graveyard was pretty small and super close to the downtown area, so it wasn't like we were totally secluded. Armed with a big over-the-shoulder camcorder and a digital camera, we started our attempt to visually capture something. I got some shots of what appears to be smoky ectoplasm in some photos. I tried to back up as a paranormal upon reviewing every shot I took by an immediate shot in the same direction and having someone breathe into the shot. It was wintertime. Whatever I caught was unexplainable. My friend's breath hardly appeared in the photo and wasn't as dense as whatever what was in the other shots. I wish I could show you what I captured, but those files are long gone. After walking around a bit more, we were caught off guard by someone yelling, "Hey, get out of here." It was loud enough to make us think that someone probably 30 feet away from us was there coming over to yell at us. After looking around to see who said this, we couldn't see anyone. Figured it was a cop who saw us outside the fence and was coming around to yell at us. We booked it as to not get caught and went back home. We went to check out our video footage to see if we caught anything, and the next part freaked me a bit. As we reached that exact part in the video where we ran away from the person, he told us to get out. We all realized that the video did not pick up the "get out of here" that was yelled at us from not that far away. It was odd that it was not picked up because it was super audible in person, as if they were not far away. Video picked up all of our voices. They were definitely all at least 10 feet away from each other most of the time. Surely a voice from about 30 feet would it be at least heard quietly on the video. The next story traumatized me immensely, which happened several years after high school at my parents' current house. I was lying in bed asleep in my room. I randomly awoke to something hanging around the center of my ceiling. My room was dark, but whatever this was darker and looked like nothing I recognized in my room normally. It looked like a smoke cloud concentrated in an oblong 3-foot diameter spherical type shape. It swirled around within this shape boundary, almost like what cigarette smoke would look like in a small room full of smokers, except dark black. I was so freaked out that I felt frozen in my bed looking upward at it. I don't think I had sleep paralysis, but I was just frozen in fear. What felt like forever, but probably like 2 minutes, I just laid there, looking at this thing, trying to figure it out and what I should do. Finally, I had mustered up enough courage to get up and run out of my room. I had to run under this thing to get to my door. I ran downstairs and woke up my mom. Understandably, I freaked her out, not only by shaking her in her sleep, but telling her what I saw. Neither of us slept that night, and we both just watched TV on the couch downstairs for like 2 weeks straight. I slept on the couch, refusing to be in my room, especially at night. My mom isn't super religious, but when it comes to this stuff, she breaks out the holy water, literally. She had plenty of her own experiences when she was a child, so I guess she used her methods to push away whatever these paranormal entities were. She saged and threw holy water all around the room, telling the thing to leave and that it wasn't welcome here. She also left a bowl of rice under my bed. Not sure what that does. Anyway, I gradually grew less scared of whatever it was I saw that day, and life resumed as normal, and I started to sleep in my bed again. Never had experiences like that again, knock on wood. A few years later, I moved away from the house, came back to clean some stuff out, and stumbled upon this knife set I forgot I kept in my closet. My girlfriend at the time, when that smoky cloud thing happened, randomly gave me what seemed like this tribal-looking ceremonial knife set. I assumed it was from the Philippines, where her family was from. It had wooden handles, it had carvings of tribal-looking people. At that exact moment, I considered that maybe this was the cause of what happened to me a few years prior, despite only happening once. I brought this to my mom, and before saying anything to her, she freaked out and asked me where I got it from. She must have gotten a weird vibe from it. I mean, it was super creepy. I even had it. But then I asked her if she thought it had anything to do with what I saw that night. She told me to go throw it out in the woods. I have another short story about the time my current girlfriend and I visited Salem for the first time. I think I may call that one in at another point in time.
So I kind of had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it sometimes we can only hear ghosts on audio equipment, but in that case where they were in the cemetery, it didn't pick it up. They only heard it audibly.
I think it's kind of like the downloading effect, where sometimes you're picking it up, or multiple people are picking it up, but it's not audibly being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the same thing happens with the equipment, where like just the equipment picks it up and we're not picking it up audibly, where it's somehow it's just kind of like the data, if you will, the information is going to its intended place, but it's not through its traditional means.
Okay.
Like a tape recorder, for example, you don't necessarily need to I'm talking, remember, like old cassette tapes here, mm-hmm. or data, same way. You don't audibly need to be sitting there hearing it for the data to be transferred over.
Sure.
It can be done in silence. It's the information that's being implanted either onto the chips, if it's computers, the tape itself, if it's on analog tape. As far as people go, I don't know. I guess same sort of thing. Like, you don't audibly always need to have to hear something to pick it up. Prime example, you're halfway asleep and you think you're hearing things. You think you hear the TV. You think you hear a doorbell ring or whatever. And it's not there, but you heard it. Although audibly it's not there, but the data went into your mind that it was there. So I think it's kind of operating on those sort of things.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's the answer.
Okay.
There's no other truth other than what I say.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Sounds good.
Glad I could answer that for you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And now a very special phone call. I enjoy these.
Okay.
Glenn, our security guard friend, who's been updating us on his saga for, gosh, this is probably, I don't know, it's been around the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. I want to say. February, March, started sharing his stories. And if you follow us on our Facebook group page, you've probably seen his posts and his videos and his pictures. If you've not, I highly encourage you to join our Real Ghost Stories Online group. Just search it on Facebook. And he's been updating on there quite a bit, but I encourage him to, please call in and share verbally what's been going on. And this is his latest update.
How you guys doing? I'm going to tell you guys a story that's happened to me a while back. I think it was like maybe a month or two ago, but I had a dream. I was at work and I was sitting behind the desk. And I don't know who the other guy was, my other partner was, but it was just me behind the desk. And I was sitting there and I was doing some kind of paperwork or something. And all of a sudden I heard, and like, the lobby was like empty. Nobody was in there. It's like a good night, I guess. I look up and see nobody. So I start right back down in my journal, whatever it was I was doing. And then all of a sudden I hear a voice upon a voice. Another voice, and they're all screaming for help. What the fuck's going on? So I just sit there, ignore it, and I kept hearing another voice and another voice screaming for help. I look up, I stand up, I look out into the ball, or not in the ballroom, my apologies, out into the front main lobby, and then I notice that there's bodies stacked upon bodies, and then there's more bodies stacked upon them, and they're crawling to the guard post. And then it's like they're coming out of, I guess, the floors. They're coming out of the beams. They're coming, I don't know where the hell these things are coming from, but they're literally screaming in terror. They're screaming in pain. The looks on their face, like it's still imprinted in me. I can see right now the bodies coming out of the floor, and they're screaming and they're crying and they're asking for help. There's nothing I can do. I just feel like somebody was walking up on me. But, there's literally nothing I can do for these people. And it kind of hurt me, it hurt me because I'm the type of person, I will give you the last 20 out of my pocket if I know you need it, or if your kid needs something to eat, or, if you need something, I will give you the last bit of money I have to make sure that you have what you need. Because where I work, I make okay money. So if I can help you out, then that it brings a smile to my face and makes me feel better. But, it hurt me, physically and mentally because it took a toll on me. I was literally worn out for the next 2 days afterwards of having this dream. I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't want to eat nothing. I could hardly sleep. I didn't sleep right for 3 days after this dream. I kept waking up in the middle of the night. And staring, sitting up under my bed and staring at the wall. But this place is literally taking a toll on me. Everything from sleeping to my daughter now saying that there's a woman in her room that her name is Nina and she's waking her up every night. The fuck am I supposed to do? I can sage it. What is that going to do? What if it needs exorcism out of our house? What if it needs blessed? What if, you know, there's so many things it can do, but they're going to run down the line first. I've staged our room, my kids' room, the live room, you know, the kitchen. And there's literally so much I can do to help my daughters, my girlfriend. But my daughter will get up screaming and crying, coming in our room, telling her, Nina won't leave me alone. Well, who the fuck's Nina? She's the girl that lives in my closet. Okay, that's not right, you know. And then, like, I can tell I'm not the person I was before I came here. It's literally taking a toll on my body. I don't sleep right anymore. I feel drained when I come in here. And it's literally, like, getting to the point now where I don't like coming into work anymore. And what I do is easy money. I get paid okay, good money. But now it's coming to a point where I'm literally drained. As me and my girlfriend talking and something simple, like really simple, I will see it. I will literally blow the fuck up for no reason. And we both, like, not to get too personal, but me and my girlfriend both came out of a really horrible relationship. We both were abused, and mentally and physically. And I told her when I first got with her that I will be her, you know, I will be there for her, you know, to protect her and our kids, you know, just stuff like that. And I ended up making her cry one day, and it killed me. It fucking destroyed me on the inside. Like, I get to the point now where I'm blowing up for no reason. And it's something as simple, you know, as I couldn't even tell you what it was about. It was that stupid. And I literally made this woman that I actually love cry, and it killed me. Because my job is to protect her, to make sure nothing like that ever happens to her. Because I'm supposed to be the guy that holds her when she cries, holds her when she's upset, kisses her when something is wrong. I'm supposed to be there to help her. And here the fuck I am. I'm turning into a monster because of the place where I work. Like, it's to the point now where I'm just like, you know what? I do need a new job, but it's going to take some time to get a new job. And what am I supposed to do then until then? Let this place eat the hell out of me, you know? Eat away at me little by little until the point where I'm like, I totally lose my shit. But, you know, I'm not the only one this happened to. We'll get calls in the middle of the night or we'll get calls on the day. Or when I work a third shift, we'll have calls from those stupidest shit. Two guys would be upstairs drinking. And one of the friends that wasn't drinking tries to stab another friend or something. And then we'll bring him down here and he'll try to fight us on the way down here. And when we get him outside the building, perfectly normal guy. We'll ask him, what the hell happened? Oh, well, he said this and it made me blow up. Well, why'd you try to stab him? Man, I don't remember stabbing him. I said, buddy, when we got up there, you were holding a knife to him. He goes, but I swear to you, I don't remember any of that. And we'll get shit like that. Or we'll go, you know, instant where a lady will come in. You know, I know most of the people here, and they're good people. You know, they just had, they're down on the luck. You know, the location where they're at, they're just, they're down on the luck. You know, and I try to talk to them, you know, try to make them smile, stuff like that. Tell them a stupid joke or something. Just get them laugh. Just to try, you know, try to take them away from where the hell they're living. You know, and I know it's being remodeled. So, you know, they're always looking forward to that because after it's remodeled, it's going to be a beautiful place, you know? So I had a lady come up to me, I think Monday, giving me shoes. Honey, you won't believe what happened to me last night. And I was like, all right, what's happening now? You know, just jokingly. She goes, honey, somebody walked in my apartment. I said, well, did you call security? She goes, no. I said, well, why didn't you call security if you had somebody walk through your house? She didn't know, and you're the only one there. Why didn't you call us? We'd have came up. She goes, honey, he walked through my living room, walked right through my fucking wall. I said, oh, one of those. She's like, yeah. Sorry, I'll bring you some sage tomorrow. All right, thank you. It's getting to the point now where I should literally buy sage by the box, and I will bring it here, and I'll start passing it out to people. And I'm like, all right, and then they'll burn it for a little bit, and they're fine for a week or two, and then, you know, something will start back up. But this place is literally eating me alive. I do believe that's true. Like, the shit that happens here, I wish then, you know, the shit that I'm going through on not on another person in my life, because, you know, what can you do besides find a new job? Okay, that's gonna help you in the long run, but what about the person that's taking your position when you leave? They're gonna go through the same shit that you're going through. There's literally nothing anybody can do. There's too many rooms in this place. There's too many corridors in this place. There's rooms in here. I know I've told you about it recently, you know, a while back in one of the, you know, phone calls, but there's rooms that lead to nowhere. There's stairwells that lead to nowhere. Where is it going? You know, if we bring a priest in here, which I would love to have a priest come in here, maybe four or five of them, you know, walk on each level, bless the whole place, give their hair, whatever the fuck lives here, out. But there's just too many rooms, there's too many hallways, there's too many stairwells for someone. You at least need 10 to 20 priests to come in here and be able to bless where they need to bless. Because they're not going to reach, you know, they bless one way, it's probably going to go through the other. You know, and it's I don't know, you can tell by some of the older people that live here, you know, that the shit that they experience, you know, has taken a toll on them too. We had a guy a while back, had a firefight with the police officers, shot off 365 rounds, literally turned the elevator to fucking Swiss cheese. And they asked the guy, when they arrested him, when he finally ran out of ammunition, they asked the guy, they said, "Why did you do this?" He goes, "Buddy, I don't remember it." And the cop's like, "Well, there has to be a reason you shot it. So, you shot off at like six or seven officers, you know, and then shot off this many rounds." And he's like, "I don't know why I did that. You know, something clicked and I went with it." He goes, "Something clicked? You mean like mentally?" He goes, "No, something clicked in my head and told me to do it." And the guy is now still in a psych ward down in Kentucky somewhere. I couldn't tell you what, I do know he is in a psych ward because it cost him almost $25,000 to fix the elevator because they had to pull it out throughout the building. So there's 11, 12 floors here and they had to pull it out through the roof, and they said it damn near fell apart coming up because it was riddled with so many bullet holes. But yeah, it's some of the shit we get here. We'll get people going off for no reason. People getting upset for no reason. And, you know, I get the shit like I get. But I hope you guys have a good night. I'll talk to you next time if anything else happens. Bye.
I think for Glenn's safety, not only from the dead, but from the living, it's time to find something else. And I know he's working on that, mm-hmm. but I don't know what else to say, you know?
No, we've communicated back and forth on Facebook a little bit privately, and I said the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's time here, you know, as interesting as your stories are, obviously it's starting to take a toll on you, and it would probably be best to, you know, to try and get out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not worth it for his mental health.
Yeah.
To have to deal with that. And the danger, it sounds, with the people. I mean, something like this, to break it down a little bit further as far as what's going on in there. I mean, it sounds like this is some sort of an attachment type thing that almost kind of is taking on or taking over some of the people in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it I'm going to say like possessed, but it's kind of bordering on that. We're putting people in such a dark state that their worst selves come out.
Yeah.
So for his sake, I really do hope that he's able to get out of there relatively soon. As interesting as it has been, nobody, and I don't want him to sit there and suffer or anything like that for the sake of hearing some interesting stories. So I know he's actively trying to do that, but I know as long as he is there, I think he's finding it kind of cathartic just being able to share the stories.
Yeah,
and get him out there so others can relate and make him not feel so alone. So as long as he's there, I'm sure we'll get updates. And then even when he gets out of there, I hope he does update us as far as how things are going as he gets out. Because I hope that's where the story ends.
Well, and I can completely appreciate his worry of leaving this job to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But we know not everybody is affected by things the same way. And sure. Maybe that person coming in may not be as affected.
Yeah, I mean, with something like this, it sounds like it it touches everyone in its own way. But it's like in a way it does. Mm-hmm. But to some, I think it may be like at a 10 volume and some it may be at a 1.
Yeah.
So there may be somebody else who's coming in and they're getting a 1 out of it, whereas he's experiencing it at a 10. Mm-hmm. So I think he needs to kind of consider it from that way, but he has to do what's best for him. So thank you for that update, Glenn, and please do keep us posted as that transpires. That's going to wrap up the program for today. Last chance for those tickets for our live show, August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, coming up just a few days from now. Get them at realghoststoriesonline.com. I think there's just a few left by the time this airs, if at all. So do check it out, and we hope to see you there on August 11th. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.